رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين، صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة، ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم، ولله جنود السماوات والأرض، وكان الله عليما حكيما. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صل على محمد وآل محمد، صل على محمد. For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, with the loudest of our voices, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad. Azzamallahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره مع إمام المنصور المؤيد. Once again we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment and this opportunity to continue to acquire the understanding of our faith and religion from the institution of Karbala and from the movement of our beloved master and savior Aba Abdullah al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi. Muhammad. Last night we discussed the question of taking decision in difficult situation and difficult moments on account of being inspired by Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam, because our beloved master Aba Abdullah took decision in a very difficult moment, in a very difficult situation. So it is so important for us, his lovers and followers, to get inspired with that and to be able to take decisions in our lives, not to be undecided for quite a long time in whatever we want to aspire in our life. Tonight, this course will be to focus on the importance of tranquility and peace and frustration in dealing with challenges in our lives. And the verse I've quoted for tonight's discourse is from Quran number 48, verse 4, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who instills and puts tranquility and peace in the heart of the believers so that their iman will get increased. Now, departing from this verse of glorious Quran, our examination will be of three stages. The first stage will look at the importance and significance of tranquility and inner peace in our lives. Do I need tranquility? Do I need peace? Why is it so important for me to have tranquil heart and tranquil soul? Number two, we will look at the causes or the factors that bring about peace in our lives and the factors that causes or cause frustration in our lives. And then lastly, we will conclude by looking at how to deal with frustrations and stress with foresight from the teachings of Islam. The topic is a very important topic. And we got this inspiration from the movement of our beloved master, Abba Abdullah Al-Husayn. Now, in addition to this verse of Quran, which I've just quoted, Quran 48, verse 4, there are so many teachings of Abba Abdullah that inform us of the importance of tranquility and peace, especially when one is frustrated and when one finds himself in a situation where he or she doesn't know whether to take left or to take right. You and I know that in Karbala, the situation was a very tough situation. Karbala was a very difficult situation. But in that situation, Abba Abdullah Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam advised members of his camp, members of his khaymaga, including the ladies, Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, Umma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, on how to obtain peace and tranquility and the importance of peace and tranquility. In one teaching of Abba Abdullah Al-Husayn in Karbala, he looked at his beloved sister, Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, and he said to his beloved sister, in this very beautiful saying and tradition reported from our beloved master and savior, where Abba Abdullah Al-Husayn said to her, oh, my beloved sister Zainab, prepare for what is going to happen to us. فَإِنَّ أَهَلَ الدُّنْيَا يَمُوتُونَ وَأَهَلَ الْآخِرَةِ لَا يَبُكُونَ, because all the residents of this world will not remain into this world. And even those in the heaven will not remain there. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Yani, when you examine this saying and this teaching of Abba Abdullah, he was teaching Sayyida Zainab alayhi salatu wassalam, and of course all those in the camp, to have tranquility and to have a peace. This is the situation. We cannot do anything about the situation. Some of us are going to be killed. You will be regarded as prisoners. It's not going to be easy for you, Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. It's not going to be easy for Sakina. It's not going to be easy for Kulthum. It's not going to be easy for Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. But the moment is, you need to get into this situation while your heart is filled with peace and tranquility. And the same thing in one teaching of Abba Abdullah. He looked at all those in his camp and he said to them, Istaiddo, oh my people, oh my companions, prepare. Wa'alamu, and you should know that the wa'ad of Allah is haqq. Meaning the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inevitable. It will definitely happen. So tawakkalu ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From here we realize that in whatever situation that you may find yourself in, the best way to handle the situation is to obtain peace and tranquility. And we as Muslims, Quran is not short of that. Riwayat of Ahlul Bayt is not short of that. And the history and the lives of Ahlul Bayt is not short of that. So therefore, let us look at the first step of our examination, the importance of peace. See, when you read Quran, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in Quran dedicated so many verses to believers and explains the characteristics and the qualities of believers. In one verse, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, every believer, man or woman, is of two sets of conditions. You sitting here, you are a believer. You believe in Allah, you believe in Rasulullah, and you believe in Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I sitting here, I claim to be a believer. Now, Quran says every believer is of two conditions or situation. Let us look at these two conditions, and you bring conditions to your life, whether you fit in or not. If you do not fit in, then you cannot regard yourself as a believer. The least you can do is to regard yourself as a Muslim who is aspiring and struggling to become a believer. And the verse is very simple verse. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتُهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala explained the qualities of believers. Allah says, indeed, believers are those إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Whenever Allah's name is being mentioned, they will start shaking. When Allah's name is being mentioned, they will find something into their hearts. And Quran continue to say, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتُهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Not only mentioning the name, but when the name is being explained to them, their iman will increase in its level. And then they will depend solely on Allah. From this verse, we realize that a mu'min is of two conditions. The first condition is a halatul wajl. Mu'min is of a condition in such a way that he's scared of committing sin. Wajl, wajilat qulubuhum. Yani every mu'min, boy or a girl, man or a woman, is scared of indulging into a sin. Whether sin between him and the law of nature, or sin between him and the creations of Allah. And I and you know that if a sin is between I and Muhammad, or between I and Ahmad, or between I and Mahdi, Allah will not intervene until and unless we bury the hatchet or we forgive one another. But if it's a sin, it's between me and the law of nature, then I can ask for forgiveness from Allah when I meet all those conditions of asking for tawbah, which Mawlai Kainat explained in Nahjul Balagha. So the first condition and situation of a believer is that a believer is scared of indulging into a sin. If you are like that, then you can regard yourself as a believer. Hence, in Dua-i Kumail, just now we all recited Dua-i Kumail. There is a very beautiful verses and portions of Dua-i Kumail where Mawlai Kainat explained to us how disgusting it is to commit sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تقطع الرجاء. All these things are to inform us how disgusting committing sin or indulging into sin is in the eye of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence we ask Allah, forgive us those sins that will hold our du'as, and our du'as will not ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, forgive us those sins that will bring calamities on us. And Allah, forgive us those sins that will expose us to difficulties of life. So therefore, number one, hala and condition of a believer is that believer tries his or her level best to stay away from sin.
So if you are like that, as a young boy, as a young girl, as a student who goes to university, as a businessman, as a father, as a mother, whenever you realize that you are trying your level best to stay away from a sin, then regard yourself as a believer. That's number one. Number two condition of a believer in the same verse is al-itminan, tranquility. Mu'min is shakhsiyya mutma'inna. Mu'min is a personality with tranquil soul and tranquil hearts. As you find Quran in numerous verses explain to us, whatever befalls mu'min, mu'min regard it positive. As you find Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, when people came out on the streets, right from Karbala to Kufa up until Sham, when people were thinking that these people are prisoners, and people would come and ask Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, don't you know that you are losers in this battle? Na'uzu billah. Sayyidah Zainab, in a famous teaching, she would tell them, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. That's men. I've seen nothing except beauty. She saw they sat on the chest of Aba Abdullah. She saw the arrow on the neck of Ali ibn al-Asgar. She saw the dagger on the chest of Ali ibn al-Akbar. She saw the ladies and the young ones thirsty. But upon all that, Zainab said, Ma ra'aytu illa jamila. I've seen nothing but beauty. So that is the second quality or hala or situation of a believer. Believer, it has a tranquil heart. He has a tranquil soul. Hence, Allah in Quran mentioned, believers will always say, "Kullan yusibana illa ma kataba Allahu lana, wa huwa maulana wa 'ala Allahi falyatawakkal al-mu'minun." Whatever befall us, believers will always chant this slogan, "Illa ma kataba Allahu lana." Yani nothing will affect us and befall us except what is written for us by Allah. And believers will always depend completely and solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, having known these two conditions of a believer, you need to go and assess yourself. Do you have tranquil heart? Do you have tranquil soul? When you are in a situation, how do you deal with it? Do you complain so much? Do you cry so much? Do you talk to everyone so much? Oh no, you have that tranquil kalbul mutma'inna aw nafsul mutma'inna as Quran mentioned. So these are the two halatan for a believer. Now question. What are the signs of nafsul mutma'inna? Here I want you to pay attention. Because this world that we live in, as we will explain more later, there are so many challenges. There are so many difficulties. There are so many problems. There are so many challenges and confrontations. The only way and the best way and the quickest way to be able to withstand whatever the challenge might be is to have a nafsul mutma'inna. To have a tranquil soul and a tranquil heart, especially our youth. Now, what are the signs of a tranquil soul? I'll give you the signs, then I'll give you what you need to do practically to obtain nafsul mutma'inna. Number one, we know, as a believer, he has two situations. One of the situations is a hala itmi'naniya. Yani, a believer is got nafsul mutma'inna. He does not worry. Everything is inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now, question. What are the signs of nafsul mutma'inna? When I see one of these signs in my life, I should then go to sajida and be grateful to Allah to say, now I'm on the right track. Number one sign of nafsul mutma'inna is inshirahu sadr. Someone who's got a tranquil heart, his first sign is that he has a big heart. What does it mean to have a big heart? Not a big heart of being generous, not that. Here, when Quran said, أَفَمَنْ شَرَعَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Whoever Allah has provided him with a big heart, then that person will be illuminated by the light of Allah. Now, what is big heart from Quran, which is one of the signs of tranquil soul, is that you enjoy worship of Allah. When Quran is being recited, you don't want the reciter to stop. When you stand there to perform salah, you don't want the salah to come to an end. When Noah and Marcia is being recited, this is dedicated for Abba Abdullah. You crave more of it. When Azan is being recited, you tend to crave more of it. When you stand at night for your tahajjud, you don't want Fajr to come because you want to do more tahajjud. One of the signs of having a tranquil soul is that I enjoy worshipping Allah. Today we find worship Allah heavy on our chest. When a person comes to the mosque, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, within 3 minutes he's gone, finish. Then you do not have a tranquil soul. You do not have a tranquil heart. So the first sign of having a tranquil soul and heart is that I enjoy worshiping Allah. Like the way the other meaning of having a big heart is that your heart is big. You accommodate everyone. You are ready to help whoever comes your way. Muslim, non-Muslim, Shia, not Shia. You are ready. The same thing in the world of spirituality. When they talk of having a big heart, it means I am ready to accommodate the worship of Allah because I do not get tired of the worship of Allah. Once you are like that, especially as young boys and girls, as youth, then you should regard yourself someone who has a tranquil heart and a tranquil soul. Number two sign of having a tranquil heart and soul is as-sakina wal-hudu, calmness and humbleness. Someone who has a tranquil heart is always calm and humble. He is down to earth. He is not arrogant mutakabbira. Whether young or old, when he speaks to people, they sense kindness from his words. When he interacts with them, even if they are at fault and he is on the right side, he is calm and humble. Hence the verse I quoted earlier when Allah made it very clear. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. Allah is the one who sent peace and tranquility into the heart and the souls of the believers so that their iman will get increased. So the second sign of having a tranquil heart and a tranquil soul is that you are calm. You know, the worship of Allah is the very strongest weapon that you can afford to change your attitude and behavior. Hence, Allah in Quran made it very clear, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَخْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. You may try to solve all your problems. As a believer, the first hand solution to whatever problem you may encounter in your life is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah said, تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَخْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Today you go to the mosque, mosques are empty. Mosques are full only in Ramadan. Imam Baras are full only in Safar and Muharram. After that it's empty. We are losing something as believers. We need to go back to drawing board and follow Abba Abdullah and follow Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. I and you know very well in that night before Ashura, they were all making tahajjud in the camp of Abba Abdullah. If it was I and you, would say, no, this is very difficult. We need to prepare. But Abba Abdullah looked at his beloved sister Zainab. La tansani fi salatillail. Zainab, do not forget me in your du'as of namaz-e-shab. So whatever situation you may face or challenge in your lives, wallah, I tell you, the best way to attend to it is first to refer it to Allah. So the second sign of a believer is that believer is calm. Believer is humble. Like the Sufi Imam said, "Kunu lana zainan bighayri al-sinatikum." Represent us Ahl al-Bayt with your akhlaq, with your behavior, with your calmness, with your humbleness. Imam Jafar said, "I don't want you to represent me with words of your mouth because your mouth may lie. But I want you to represent me with your approach, with your attitude, with your behavior." So, man, someone who's got a tranquil heart, He is someone who is calm and humble. That's number two. The third sign of someone who has got a tranquil heart is that innahu athabat. He or she is steadfast. You know, sometimes you find yourself this month, you never miss your salah. But after some time, kada, 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 you owe a lot of salah. No steadfastness. You find sometimes, no, this month, all my salat are on time. But afterwards, nothing, zero. You find sometimes you wake up for tahajjud. After some time, finish. You find youths, mashallah, sometimes they come to the mosque, they give khidmah, service, mashallah, I don't know who is Hussein, give like Hussein, so many. After some time, they leave it. You find some, mashallah, they come, recite dua, kum el noah. After some time, no steadfastness. One of the signs of having a tranquil heart is that there is steadfastness in what you do. You are steadfast. No condition, no person will change your steadfastness. And you know, today one of the challenges we face in our communities is that when I go to the center and I have a problem with him, because of him, I will stop going to the mosque. Say, no, this guy, I don't like his akhlaq. It means you are not steadfast. A mu'min who's got a tranquil heart, your aim and objective is Allah. Whoever is there and not there, at the end of the day, is Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. So the third sign of having a tranquil heart is that you are steadfast. Hence Allah in Quran mentioned, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْكَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those who believe in Allah, Allah will ensure that they are steadfast in this dunya and they will benefit out of that on the day of Qiyamah. So these are the three signs of having nafsul mutma'inna. Opposite or contrary to nafsul mutma'inna, you have shaksiya mutawattira. He's on and off. And today when you look at our situation, most of us, we are on and off. We switch off easily and gets back to us. We switch off again, gets back to us. We're too busy. We don't have time anymore. You see, there was a day, early morning, our beloved Imam, Mawlai Kainat Amir al-Mu'minin, Salamullahi Alayhi. He went to the market in the morning. When he got to the market, he stood in the middle of the market and he started crying. You imagine now we're sitting here, Imam al-Zaman reappears, and then he starts crying. People were so shocked and dumbfounded as to why Mawlai Kainat was crying. After that, they asked Imam, why are you crying? Imam said, I'm crying because when I look at everybody here, they all wake up early morning to come to work. And they close very late. Why am I crying? I'm crying because I don't know when do they have time to ponder and reflect and connect with Allah. They go early, they come back late. When do they have time to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And today's situation, our life is also like that. We do not have time to connect with Allah. And we do not have time to connect with Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now let's go to the second step. What are the causes of tranquility? Meaning things when we do, we will obtain tranquil hearts. And at the same time, what are the causes of frustrations in our lives? You know, Quran made it very clear. Inna al-insana khulika halu'a. Insan is created with fear. You sitting here, I sitting here. You scared. What if I lose my job? What will happen?
This health that I'm enjoying, what if I'm affected with sickness? May God forbid.
Now I have a good relationship with my boss. What if things turn the opposite? What will happen? Every insan has that.
And this fear causes a lot of frustration into people's minds. Some not that. Some they have problems with their wives or husbands. It's a frustration. Some they have problems back home. When they go home, it's a problem. Some parents, they have problems because their children are not obedient. They do not respect them. They cannot respect. When they talk to them, they talk to them anyhow. Some know in their friendship cycle, they have problems with one another. These are all stresses and frustration of this dunya. But what makes it worse are these number three things. Number one, al-ihsas bil-ajz. When you have a problem, it could be social problem, it could be political problem, it could be religious, spiritual problem. What makes it worse to make you frustrated? Sometimes, wallah, this stress can lead to depression. And depression is killing so many people today in the world. You find people, they are very rich. They have everything of this world. But they cannot sleep. They are frustrated. They have so many stress. They are depressed. You find someone, when he goes back home, he cannot sleep completely. He will be toasting on the bed. He cannot do anything. You find people, when they are not in the friendship cycle, then they are finished. These are all things that we have faced today in our lives. Frustrations upon frustrations, stress upon stress. Islam comes forward and said, if you are faced with whatever stress that might be in your life, there are factors that can make it worse. One of it is al-ihsas bil-ajz. This sense of incapability to overcome it. You know, when we have problems, we want to tell this one. I want to tell that one. Whoever I meet, I want to talk to. Yani, this is sense of ajiz, meaning you have this sense of incapability. I cannot solve my problem anymore. This, having this type of a sense, it worsens situation in our lives. And it kills you inside completely. And you don't enjoy any social life anymore. So number one, this sense of incapability is something that we need to try to overcome in our lives. That's number one. Number two, al-khawf min al-makruh. What does it mean? One knows that I've committed sin against Allah. So every now and then is thinking that, no, this problem that I'm having, Allah is the one who is punishing me. Maybe it's because of my sin. When I was young, I smoked unlawful substance. I had unlawful relationships. I drank that. I did that. So this fear, which Islam doesn't want us to have, is leading us to a lot of stress and frustrations in our lives. That maybe I'm losing money in my company because of my sins. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala comes and said, no, la taqnatu min rahmatullah. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also worsens our situation and it makes our frustration more in our lives. The third one, which Islam mentioned from the Quranic teaching, that when one is frustrated and he has stress, it makes it so difficult. It's when a person ignores the worship of Allah. Today when I and you have problems, we think, no, if I go to this person, he will solve my problem. But Islam's comfort and said, no, the best way to start attending to your problem is to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to go back to Quran, is to go back to Salah. Don't you as a Muslim let frustration destroy you completely. We have mechanisms of overcoming these frustrations in our lives. And one of them is to go back to Allah, is to go back to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you are able to go back to worship of Allah, then it will help you solve your problem and overcome the problem. Now question. What do I do to have a tranquil heart and tranquil soul? We spoke about the signs. We spoke about the two situations of a believer. And now we spoke about factors that can worsen our frustration, that can worsen our stress, that can lead to depression completely.
In opposite this, the only way for you to be able to withstand all these difficulties is when you have a tranquil heart and tranquil soul. And through that you obtain sakina, that inner peace. We all require inner peace. We all require the sukun. Without it, life will not move on. Without it, you will continue to have sleepless nights. The first which Quran mentioned, these are based on the teachings of Quran, that when you put them into practice and you implement them, you will obtain a tranquil heart and you will be able to withstand every problem and every difficulties in your life. Number one is tawakkul ala Allah. In any given situation, as a Muslim, don't forget that Allah is there for you. And of course, different between tawakkul and tawakkul. You don't say, I make tawakkul on Allah and I do nothing about it. You try, you make an effort to do something, but then you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you depend on Allah, you will always get motivated. And you will not despair completely. But if no, I want to rely on my strength. I want to rely on my expertise. That is what is killing us. Look at the world. There are people who are so rich, but they have so many multiple problems in their lives. Because they are thinking that, no, they can do it without anyone. They can go to psychologists. They can go to the doctor. They can go to a counselor. They will be advised. No, Islam says no. The first way to deal with whatever situation and to be able to withstand any situation that may come up in the near future is to always rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatawakkalu, Allah said, in kuntum mutawakkilin. Depend on Allah if you are truly and sincere in depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves us so much. And his mercy is unlimited. You know, one day a lady visited the holy mosque of Rasulullah. When she visited the mosque, she visited with her two sons. She went to the mosque. A companion approached her. And she said to companion, I am here to see the holy prophet of Islam. The companion asked her, what do you want? What's your mission? She said, I and my children are hungry. We've not eaten for some days. And he being the Rasulullah, we know when we come, he will not reject us. Rasulullah sent someone home. Go home, whatever is there, bring us. Let us give to this lady. They brought a loaf of bread. Rasulullah gave that loaf to the lady. The lady, in the presence of Rasulullah and his companion, divided the loaf into three pieces. She gave to her children and she kept one for herself. The children were hungry, so immediately they ate this. And the lady was still having hers. Rasulullah and his companion were looking at this lady. All of a sudden, she divided hers into two. And she gave to her sons. And she sacrificed. Rasulullah asked the companions, what have you seen here? They said, we've seen mercy and love. The Rasulullah looked at them and said, Allah is so merciful to us than the way this lady is merciful to her children. So tawakkul ala Allah. Allah in Quran said, la yay'as min rawhillah. He will not despair from the mercy of Allah except those who do not believe in Allah. So the first step practically to overcome every given situation and to obtain inner peace, because we need inner peace. This outside peace that you see is nothing. The most important weapon we need to overcome every challenge is inner peace. I have to be peaceful with myself. Then if I'm at peace with myself, I will be at peace with everyone that I meet. But if I'm not at peace with myself, when I come to the community, I fight with everyone. Small thing, somebody will jump from pillar to post. So the first thing is tawakkul ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two factor, which is very, very important from the Quranic point of view, is al-wa'i. You have to know, as a Muslim, whatever situation you find yourself in, there is a reason and philosophy behind it. You need to have that why. You need to have that awareness. Whatever situation, whether I fail my exams, for instance, may God forbid, whether I lose my job, or I lose my mom, I lose my loved one, I am not respected in the community, look at the positive side of it. Hence, Rasulullah taught us, there are many people, they make dua, wanting something from Allah, and they are not getting what they want, and they start complaining, whereas Allah has planned bigger than what they want. Rasulullah said, sometimes you are asking for something, but that thing might not be in your goodness and welfare. Allah will use that dua either to forgive your sin or to reserve something good for you on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, number two, you need to have why. Why is so important that I am aware as a Muslim, any situation that I find myself, it is not over or beyond Allah's capability. I know Allah is there and there is wisdom behind it. Let him refer back to the lives of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They all went through problems, through difficulties. Let him go back to the ziyarah of Fatima al-Zahra, where we said, As-salamu alayki ya mumtahana imtahanaki Allah fawajadaki limamtahanaki sabira. When you make ziyarah of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, said, oh, salam unto you, the examined. Allah examined you, but he found you patient. So we need to have that why. That whatever situation, Allah is aware of it, and it is positive for me. Once you have that in mind, Allah, you will be able to live peacefully in this world. You will not have anything to worry about. But if I think it's only my strength that can do, that is where you have a problem and that is where you have difficulties in life. And the third one, which when we do, we are able to withstand difficulties and will obtain this peaceful heart and tranquil heart. This is from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, where someone came to our beloved Imam and asked Imam, Ya Imam, I have so many problems in my life. I try to solve the problem, but things seem to be getting worse. Whatever I would try, I seem not to get it right. Sometimes it happens to all of us. You try that, it doesn't go well. You try that, there are youth. Within 1 year, he can change course at university twice or thrice. He tried that, no, this is not for me. He tried the other one, this is not for me. He tried the other one, this is not for me. How do you solve the problem? Imam Amir, alayhi salam, in the very long tradition, Imam said, you need two things. When you are in a situation and you are getting frustrated, number one, Imam said, tahtaj ila al-istirkha. What is istirkha? Either you change your activity or you change where you are. I am living here. Things are not going right. Okay, let him leave here. Let me go say Peterborough. Or I go somewhere. I spend some time, 1 week. I reflect. I spend time alone. This Amir al-Mu'mineen is terkha. Then you'll get recharged. And you'll be able to reflect more. Because there are people when they have problems, seeing people alone is enough. It worsens the situation. Therefore, you find some husbands, when they have problems, when they go home, they sit in the room and they lock that. They don't even want the wife to come inside the room. Number two, Maulai Kainat said, you need people around you who are of positive thinking and positive mind. Friend cycle. You need a friend, and not just a friend, who is able to offer you positive advices. You need a friend who will remind you of your duty towards Allah. You need a friend who will remind you of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. You don't need a friend who is always negative. Hence, Malaika and I told him the best way to overcome the problem, either you change your situation or your activity, or you get something about Islam, history of the prophets, you read, or you have a friend who is always ready to offer you the best of all advices. Because if you have a friend who is positive, he brings positive energy. But if you have a friend who is negative, he always brings negative energy. Hence, Islam taught us, your friendship is very, very important in making who you are. If you have a good friend, then you reach somewhere. If you don't have a good friend, then it becomes a problem. And lastly, how do we deal with situation with foresight? Situation you never expected, and it happens. Number one, brothers and sisters, especially our future leaders, the youth, you need what is called basira. Basira means foresight. What is foresight? You should be in a position to read future. You know, as Muslims, unfortunately, we wait for problems to happen before we start thinking of solution. That is why we're not getting anywhere. You need to read future a little bit, especially the young ones. You have to be very smart. Life is too short and life is very smart. And unfortunately, today you find people, they think Islam is secondary. Islam doesn't have any solution. I have studied, I can offer my solution. I tell you, Islam is a holistic way of life. It has many things to offer. Maybe I've memorized this thing of Islam and many things I've passed, missed them. You need basira. Hence, Malaika Inat said to Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, oh, my beloved son, prepare for your tomorrow from today's experience. Prepare for your tomorrow from today's experience. So you need to have foresight. You need to prepare in advance. Once you are able to prepare in advance, whatever comes, you are able to overcome it. Number two, you need sabr. A life without sabr, you cannot do anything. Sabr doesn't mean injustice is done to you and you keep quiet. That doesn't mean sabr. Sabr means you are able to overcome situation. Once one is able to overcome a situation, then you are regarded as sabr. Hence Allah said, "Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab." Those who are patient, their reward will be given to them on the day of Qiyamah without any judgment from Allah. So you need to have a sabr in life. Don't rush too much. If you rush, you will not make it. With sabr, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will help you. And last but not least, you need to have a ruhu tafa'ul. You need to be proactive. Don't give up. Every situation you find yourself in, don't give up. You have a problem with your wife, may God forbid. You have a problem, issues with your husband. You have your son or daughter whom you think is not following the religion properly, don't give up. You as a boy, as a girl, as youth, your work, you've just started working. Maybe you've just started earning your first salary. Or this is your first year at work, but things are not coming right. Don't give up. You are Muslim. You are lovers of Aba Abdullah. You are lovers of Zainab alayhi salam. They taught us not to give up. We need to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you give up, then you have lost the essence of being a Muslim and a true Shi'i who is a lover of Ahlul Bayt. Sickness, Allah examine one with it. Whatever the sickness might be, you've been to all hospitals, you've been to all doctors, you've been to the topmost expertise, and they are unable to cure you. Wallahi, don't give up. Don't give up. Allah, who created Adam without mother and father, can do something beyond. Allah who made Nuh alayhi salam or Yunus to survive in the stomach of a fish, he can let you overcome your problem. Allah, who overcame the principles of cause and effect, when they placed Ibrahim in fire and he made it cold for Ibrahim, he is there for you to overcome your problems. So the third thing on how to handle situation before they come or before they become worse, don't give up. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. You know, the worst enemy we have is our sins. But Allah comes forward and said, irrespective of the amount of sins you've committed, as youth, as mother, as father, as brother, as sister, don't give up. Allah is capable of forgiving. But once people give up, then they go into stress. Hence, today you find some of our brothers and sisters, they are stressed up. You find our sisters who are getting proposals and proposals are getting turned away. They are frustrated. We have these situations in our communities. Rely on Allah and don't give up. Allah's time is the best time. Hence, when we go to Karbala on the 10th day of Muharram, we learned from Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu was salam that you cannot give up. Yes, the enemies are ready to attack. And we knew the enemies were going to attack. But our aim is to be pleased with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their pressure did not stop to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu was salam. That is why narration says, Sayyida Zainab alayha salam, when she went back to Madinat al-Munawwara, the first thing she did was to go to the room of Muhammad and Aun. And Zainab looked at where Muhammad and Aun used to sleep, meaning their bed. Zainab said, Wallah, they may have taken your joy from my eyes, but they will never take your joy from my heart. That is why you see Sayyida Zainab stand in Karbala. Narration says, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn was killed and beheaded an hour before Maghrib. But you know after Maghrib what happened in Karbala. Karbala then was swept with darkness. There was no light. The first thing they did after beheading Aba Abdullah under the watchful eye of Sayyida Zainab. But upon all that, Sayyida Zainab never forgot to look after Sakina, to look after Hamida, the daughter of Muslim bin Aqil. Zainab never forgot to look after Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Narration says the first thing they did, they came and started looting and stealing the belongings of Aba Abdullah. But the most hateful one, which is in relation to Zainab, is that they said the last one came and he saw nothing to take from Aba Abdullah. He saw the ring in the finger of Aba Abdullah. And that ring was given to Aba Abdullah al-Husayn by Rasulullah. He tried to remove the ring from the finger of Aba Abdullah. He could not remove the ring from the finger of Aba Abdullah. Narration says he had to get a knife. And he had to cut the finger of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Arbab al-Maqatil said, on that night of Gariba, when Sayyida Zainab was going up and down to protect the children, at one stage Zainab stopped. And they were wondering why Zainab stopped. They found out Zainab saw the finger of Aba Abdullah, which was cut. And of course, after that, you know what they did to Aba Abdullah? Umar ibn Sa'd looked at his people. He said, I want you to go and sharpen the hoofs of your horses. They went to sharpen the hoofs of their horses. He said, I want you to go and trample on the bodies of the companions of Aba Abdullah. But every companion Umar mentioned, his members of the family was in the camp of Umar.
Habib ibn Mawahir, Muslim ibn Awsaja, Ali ibn al-Akbar. Umar eventually looked at them and said, who then does not have a family member here? Allahu Akbar. They said, wallah, we went around. The only one who does not have a family member in our camp is Abba Abdullah. Umar then said, I want you to go with the hoofs of your horses. Go and trample on the body of Abba Abdullah under the watchful eye of Sayyidah Zainab. How Sayyidah Zainab was very strong. She never gave up. She relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arbab al-Makatil said, they broke each and every bone in the body of Abba Abdullah. As one narration says, one of those whose body was buried into pieces was Abba Abdullah. You know, and of course, the third one was the most difficult moment for Sayyidah Zainab. They came and set the camp of Abba Abdullah with fire. Zainab was going round up and down to protect their children and women. Because the old Khaimaga was under fire. Sakina was moving that side. Dailam the other side. Imam Zain al-Abidin the other side. One narrator said, wallah, when they came and trampled the body of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, Zainab came out and she called Imam Zain al-Abidin. She said, oh Imam, who is breaking something out there? Some Arbab al-Makatil, she asked him, I heard like someone breaking bottles out there. Imam Zain al-Abidin replied, No, the ribs of my father is been broken. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun kalabin yankalibun. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Ma'tam al-Husayn.